Welcome to Drinks and Disney Podcast, where I, Stina, sit down with a friend and have an in-depth discussion about a specific Disney movie while we enjoy 2, 3, 4, 5 themed drinks. Part of the fun is the Instagram, at Drinks and Disney, so be sure to follow us there. Also, please rate us on iTunes and leave a fun review if you can. Enjoy!
Welcome to Drinks and Disney with Stina. Quick disclaimer for this episode, we have 2 dogs and a baby in the vicinity. So there might be a lot of little noises and stuff. You might hear a baby. If so, then you're blessed.
You're welcome.
Because today my guests are Ashley, which you'll remember from my Incredibles episode.
Which was incredible.
Y'all remember Isabel, Ashley's baby, who was asleep most of the Incredibles, but is now quite awake and might make a few I'm discovering the world noises. I also have, you'll remember... That was not Isabel. That was Modo, which you'll also remember from the Incredibles episode.
He was very sure that he needed to be involved.
Yes. I also have Steven Shevers here from my Hercules episode.
Hey.
Hercules. What's up?
Y'all remember. Y'all know.
Y'all, I was the one with the Oedipus complex.
Recognize. And we are all very good friends from our entire lives, essentially. Yep. Steven and Ashley have known each other longer than I have known both of them. I know there's a few stories. I think that we should go over those. So, Steven, take it away.
Okay. So, I think our fondest memory is the time Ashley threatened to kill me.
Yeah.
Mind you,
the first time. There's been several other times.
The start of a blossoming friendship.
Mind you, I was 8 years old. That would have made you 9. So she was, of course, the cool girl at our day camp during the summer that was off in the corner reading a book.
Natural. Like,
she was. I mean, she wasn't like standoffish, but like she was over in the corner, she's reading her book. And I decided at 8 years old, I loved her.
So already at 9, I'm having to deflect the advances of a man who won't let me live my freaking life.
I go up to her and I tell her, I like you. Her immediate response was, no, you don't.
Even then, I knew.
She proceeded to threaten to kill me. And mind you, for a 9-year-old, you coming up with this, like, looking back, I'm like, how the F?
I don't know.
Well, I respect it.
Maybe it was what I was reading.
Maybe. Yeah,
what I was reading at the time.
Girl who kicked the hornet's nest. I don't know. One of the two. She threatened to poison, because I was also a reader back then, she threatened to poison the pages of my book, because as I would lick them to turn the page, I would be poisoned, and none would be the wiser that it was her. So, ingenious. 9 years old, murdering an 8-year old.
Tell me that again, and I will force you to kill yourself.
Yeah,
and
so,
no one will know.
So, I think she was the first to really realize that I was a giant homosexual, therefore.
Something tells me I'm not your type.
We are doing Brave, which is a really important movie. Mm-hmm. Very important. Industry changing, as I say.
I'm all about those.
I'm all about those. We're all about those. We just saw... Well, I say that because we saw Crazy Rich Asians last night, and it's the same type of industry changing.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. She knows, and she's got it. Okay, so yeah, we're doing Brave. And we're drinking this cocktail that we made up. Of course, it has scotch in it because this is a Scottish tale. So we have scotch. It has a grape liqueur, which gives it a fun cough medicine taste. And it's a, we also have, what did we get? Sherry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, And we're calling it the Wee Devils cocktail. Because there's three of us, and there's triplets.
Those Wee Devils.
The Wee Devils. 2012.
Wow.
That's a guess. Not far, not that long ago. Directed by Mark Andrews and Brenda Chapman. Produced by Catherine Safarian. We're going to do a high five for Brenda. High five for Catherine. Screenplay. Mark Andrews. Steve Purcell.
High five for Steve. Oh, now we're not doing that. Okay.
Steve's
are a dime dozen.
Brenda Chapman. Irene Mechie.
Woo, ladies.
Starring. Can anyone name some names that starred in the movie?
No.
Yes. Emma Thompson is the mom.
Really? No.
And then do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
Yes.
I can't think of the actor's name, but the super hot ginger, the one who plays Owen.
Kevin McFadden.
He plays the dad.
I don't know anybody's names, and I always feel guilty about it, because I remember when Christina, like, first was in the biz. She was like, I always like to call people by their real names and not their character names, and I was like, oh, man, I'm at worst.
Yes, he plays Dr. Owen Hunt on Grey's Anatomy for the past, like, 8 seasons.
Who does he play?
Is he
the ginger that was with Christina forever?
I know that.
No.
Who does he play in Brave?
Oh, sorry. He plays the suitor who doesn't speak, like, we don't understand what he says.
Oh my god, that's so fucking cute.
He's very Scottish.
But he's actually speaking his hometown's language.
That is so sexy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So you think that it's nonsense when you watch the movie, but he's actually speaking what he grew up almost speaking in his hometown.
That is the sexiest thing I've ever heard right now.
Mm-hmm. He's really hot, yeah.
He's,
I mean, think of Scottish actors and...
Is Karen Gillan in it?
Sean Connery.
Damn it, no.
Is Karen in it?
No, she's not, and that's a really good
point. Yeah, that would have been a good, Karen Gillan. Well, you know, like, every other, like, minor demographic.
Well, I mean, David Tennant is in it either.
Oh, that's weird.
Which is crazy. Yeah. He's in, How to Train Your Dragon. We have Kelly MacDonald, who plays Merida.
Where's
your Kelly MacDonald plays Rowena. No, she plays...
Rowena?
No.
Ravenclaw?
I don't think she plays her. She plays the ghost of the woman in Ravenclaw that Harry Potter...
Oh, it's Rowena's daughter.
Yes. Helena. Yeah. Helena, yeah. She plays her in the Harry Potter movies. Billy Connolly. If he doesn't pop up physically in your mind, then I can't help you because the moment I say his name, I can see his face.
You did it.
Emma Thompson. Julie Walters.
Mm-mm. Nothing.
Who I think plays Maudie, the maid. Who is my favorite character. She's my favorite character. Robbie Coltrane. We also have Kevin McKidd, which we are... Craig Ferguson. Plays Fergus.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes sense.
I love Craig Ferguson. Oh my god. Okay, so let's see. Cinematography by Robert Anderson and Danielle Feinberg. High five for the lady.
She does good work.
She does great work.
She does some
it's a beautiful
Feinberg
film.
Work.
Get out.
Yeah, okay, bye.
I guess it's Feinberg. Budget, $185 million. Can you guys guess the box office?
$297 million. Is
higher.
That mean good job or what?
$350 million. Higher. Ooh.
$619 million. $538 million. 40. Yes!
$540 million. If y'all don't notice, Ashley's my Pixar girl.
All about it.
Yeah, she loves Pixar movie, and the fact that it's a princess Pixar movie, this is a big deal.
Is way more inclusive than Disney. I never really saw myself in Disney movies, but I did see myself in almost every Pixar
I think
movie.
That's fair because Pixar, the one thing they strive for is relatability. But we also have most Pixar films are males. Like, their main character is a man.
True.
That's true.
Is a male character. Women are often plot devices. But with this and Inside Out,
It switched.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys ready for the quiz?
Yes, always.
What are the triplets' names?
Nope.
I'm out. It's Hubert.
Out. They're H's. It's yes. Hubert, Humphrey.
Henry.
And...
Humphrey is incorrect. Hubert is correct.
Hubert Haggis? Why?
Haggis after I mean, might as well be.
I can remember Hubert. Henry? Is Henry one of them?
I no. said Henry.
Okay, that's silly. Why I was... Hubert, I want to say Hagrid, just because of that.
Hagrid would be a good one. There's one that's very westernized, and there's one that's very Scottish.
Hubert... Hamish?
Yes. Okay. Hamish. Hubert, that's Hamish. The very Scottish one, and then... there's a very westernized one.
Hubert, Hamish, and...
First of all, I had
Harold?
To...
Harold?
No. Oh, well, that's a good quest. Shot. I had to Google this because she says it so fast that I was like, no way. No way.
Also, slight disclaimer, I had to start and stop this movie so many times because of Isabel.
Yeah. Hunter? No.
No.
I give up.
Harris.
Harris.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is a historical name.
Hamish, Hubert, and Harris, the boys, which I'm like, fuck them. I had two younger brothers. I'm done with it. I'm like, no, they're not a part of my life.
A surprise that there are three triplets that are alive. That
oh,
even
yeah.
that Eleanor's that alive mm-hmm. because of in that time. Like, to carry triplets, it's amazing, isn't it? Could you imagine sharing your mom's womb with all that?
There could be three of you.
She's like, I would not. I would have eaten them in the womb.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking those three.
Oh, there were three. Yeah.
What you don't know is...
that she ate them. Well, no, what if they were, like, quintuplets, and, like, that's all that survived?
Name three things each that a princess does or does not do.
Does not put their weapons on the table.
I went
for the easy one.
And then she does not leave her weapons on the table. And that's it.
That's all you know?
No, wait, hold on. I have the montage in my head.
Do it.
A princess, something with eating... There was, like, an eating thing.
Yeah, there's
was
an
like,
eating
either
thing.
Take
yeah.
smaller bites or, like, choose where their mouth goes or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's a very Scottish way of saying the thing that you just said.
Oh.
But, yes, you're correct.
What was the Scottish way of saying it?
A princess does not stuff her job.
Oh, wow.
Stuff her job.
Or gob. I don't know what she said.
I think gob.
It was job or gob.
I think it's gob. I gob. Think it says gob.
A princess does not stuff her gob. A princess does not chortle, doesn't stuff her gob, rises early. My Scottish accent is failing right now. Is compassionate, patient, cautious, clean.
Damn it, I was going to say patient.
And above all, a princess strives for, well, perfection.
Well.
Merida, a princess does not place her weapons on the table.
Does not place her weapons on the table.
You bitch and I had Doubtfire.
Name the other families.
McDougans? McDougans?
No.
You're just making shit up.
McDonald's?
The
McRib. McPancakes.
I mean, these are all McGriddles. Anything with a Mac in front of it is a good guess. The scotch we're drinking is what?
Is McDougan? It's something like that. It's like McDougan's.
Yeah, it's like a Mac. It's a Mac. Yeah.
The Jamesons.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Macintosh.
Macintosh.
Okay, because... Can you guess why?
Yeah,
because
they animated on Macintosh
computers.
Yeah. I think that's correct. But also, in another layer, Steve Jobs founded Pixar.
Oh, Macintosh. Okay.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm. He was actually a huge creative force in Toy Story. So.
Oh, okay.
That's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
MacGuffin.
Okay, you said you were close. Yeah, I was gonna say McMuffin because it's delicious.
Did someone say McMuffin?
Did somebody
I said
say
McRib and McGriddle.
No, the MacGuffin is another double meaning because MacGuffin in an film terms is a object in a film that doesn't have actually any importance to a plot, but moves the plot forward.
Such as
Pulp Fiction, the briefcase that they open is a MacGuffin. So it doesn't actually have anything important, but it's a driving force in the plot. Families are that. Mm-hmm. They're not actually important to Merida's story, but they drive the plot forward.
That's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. This is why I love listening to you about movies.
And then the last one is Dingwall.
Dingwall.
What's the Japanese title of the film?
Merida and the Dark Forest. So Kyle, when my fiance was teaching in Japan, he only saw these Disney movies that came out in Japanese, and the titles are all changed because with the kanji and like how it's spoken, they don't have the same things. Mm-hmm. So they don't necessarily have, which is weird. You think they'd have like a word for brave? Mm-hmm. I mean, enough white girls are getting it tattooed on themselves.
Right.
So it was like Merida and the Dark Woods or Merida and the Dark Forest. I'm pretty sure.
Or the Dark Magic.
The Dark Magic.
What was the original title for the film? In English.
Oh. I think it starts with Merida again, right?
No.
Okay.
I remember when this, because me and my friend Bree would talk, we would G-chat, and she, like, I remember her sending me the original, like, poster for it. Mm-hmm. That was just, like, something poster. I was like, hey, this is a thing we're working on.
Mm. No idea. Tap out. Don't know.
If you don't know, it's like...
I don't know.
The Bear and the Bow.
Oh. That would have been interesting.
That would have been interesting.
Who was originally asked to play Merida?
Dakota Fanning?
I guess now's as good a time as any. Me. But I haven't been telling you.
Listen, Pixar called me about 6 years ago.
Okay, so 6 years ago, who would have been kind of a
who
hot
was like,
thing
yeah,
there?
Right? Who was
Miley
it?
Cyrus?
Wait, was it a white girl?
Okay.
We have to think of someone who could do a Scottish accent.
Well, Karen Gillan would be my first.
But the ironic thing about that statement is that she ended up not doing the film because she couldn't get the Scottish accent.
Oh.
But so she was their first choice.
Oh, Kristen Stewart?
Anne Hathaway. I'm trying to think of the other, like, Disney ABC princesses at the time.
Ashley Lord Newell. Mm-hmm.
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez is listening, and she's like, I can do a Scottish accent.
That's how dare rude. They?
Those horses.
Wait, I'm still guessing. I want to think, was it like Lizzie McGuire?
I want you to think older.
Older.
Like our age older or older than us?
I mean, to be fair, Kelly MacDonald, who does the voice of Merida, was in her 30s when she did Merida. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So think
Meg
of...
Ryan.
Meg
good guess. Take it back a little bit.
Younger, Michelle Pfeiffer.
A little bit.
A little younger than Meg Ryan. I don't get it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. Okay, older. This is a fun game. Older, younger than Meg Ryan, but older than us.
I mean, that seems obvious to me.
But she could,
to be honest.
And it's a Disney, like. A
I
Disney
feel like movie. I would get it.
I concede.
You concede?
Mm-hmm.
Reese Witherspoon.
Wow. Okay.
Which you can kind of get.
Yeah.
But then she couldn't get the Scottish accent.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Wow. Work on it, Reese. Maybe hire a vocal coach.
Honestly.
Like, you not that didn't. Hard. Like, we you didn't haven't inquire. Done that before.
Just watch Braveheart twice.
What is the only thing we see Merida eat in the whole film?
Chicken. Or turkey.
No.
Is it porridge?
Nope.
Fish.
She actually doesn't take a bite of anything but this thing.
The berries? The pie?
Those weird circular bread thingies? Apples.
Pat. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
She only takes a bite of an apple.
That was
the whole movie.
Well, you've seen her.
But there is food. But there's food in front of her a lot of the times. She only takes a bite of an apple.
But she's throwing a fit in that first scene.
Well, she doesn't eat dinner because, first of all, why the fuck is her mom... Like, why does King Hag... What the fuck is his name?
Fargus.
Fargus he gets to eat turkey legs and whatever protein, high protein he wants. Whereas, like, the boys and her have to eat haggish, mm-hmm. which is disgusting to them. I'm sure haggish, when made well, is very good. Wait, but, like...
Say it again.
Huh?
Say it again.
Haggish?
Haggis?
Haggis?
Hamish?
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 Herbert? Hubert?
Hunger Games.
Alliteration.
Damn it. Okay. It doesn't matter. She eats apples.
Yeah, I got it right. Let's not deflect from what happened here. Which
listen.
Is two for Ashley. Gosh. And how many have you gotten right?
One. One.
Okay, Emma Thompson played another character named Eleanor in what movie?
Pride and Prejudice.
Close.
The other one.
What's the other one?
Sense and Sensibility. Yeah,
Sense yes, Sense and Sensibility. Yeah. She plays Eleanor.
Two!
Who,
two for two.
Who,
no, you're welcome. I led you into that one.
Who? Eleanor. Sense and Sensibility. I took a quiz recently. This last week.
And that's who you are.
That was like, you are two Jane Austen characters. I was like, fucking tell me who I am, bitch. Emma, I already knew that. Shut up. And Eleanor Dashwood. And I was like, yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that shit.
Okay.
You know what we watched recently was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Loved it.
That was really cute.
Oh my gosh, that's like one of Stephen's favorite movies.
Yeah.
I have not yet read Pride and Prejudice proper. I have read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, though.
It's good.
I haven't either because AMC did Pride and Prejudice, like a 6-DVD film. Was it AMC or BBC?
Are you talking about the one with Colin Farrell?
Obviously.
Colin Firth? Well,
shut the fuck up.
I'm just going to beat
no, you are right. You are correct. Are you talking about the one with Colin Farrell?
She's going to edit you out every time you're right.
Yes, exactly.
And you look good and we look bad. She's going to edit it out.
Brave with Ashley.
Wait a second.
Okay, I'm the producer of the podcast.
No.
Colin Farrell, I would watch the shit.
Are you kidding me? Colin Farrell as Mr. Darcy?
And
we have to go masturbate immediately right now.
Hold the baby, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, Colin Farrell doesn't do it for you? Or are you afraid Colin Farrell?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Someone's got to watch the baby.
She's asleep.
Look, we're not gonna like let you not have Colin Farrell satisfaction
okay.
because the baby is here.
She is not about that, okay?
I would take Colin Firth over Colin Farrell any day, and I'll leave that there.
Okay, but my point is,
I'm sure he's got like whiskey dick. We can get into that later.
Who, Colin Farrell?
Yeah.
But his eyebrows are hella thick, though.
Okay, well, if I
want to... Well, he also got together with Britney Spears, which was, like, the dirtiest thing to happen in 2009.
Yeah, oh,
but you know that I live for that show.
Yeah, it was, like, dirty and delicious.
I'm so about it.
Mm-hmm. Colin Firth. Yes, I'm talking about the one with Colin Firth.
Colin Firth, who also I love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the movie... That Pride and Prejudice is what I watch when I'm sick. But Keira Knightley's Pride and Prejudice... is still my favorite movie of all time.
Understandable.
Because it is literal art on a screen.
Yeah, Jenna Malone.
It's gorgeous.
I feel like you're challenging me to disagree with you, and I am not taking the bait.
I am.
You kept looking at me like, bitch, try me, and I will not try you.
Not on this. Not on this specific.
Yeah, home court advantage and everything. I'm not doing that.
That's fair. Okay. Let's see. Where is there a hidden Mickey in the film?
Oh, it's in The Witches. Well, the first one that I can think of is in The Witches,
like, wooden
den.
Yeah, don't they have den. All kinds of shit? Like, they've Toy Story Picker.
Well, we're gonna get into that because I have notes about the tie-in through all the Pixar films.
Yeah, bring that up because it's been years since I read
that.
Yeah,
we'll
so I have the, like, I'm refreshed. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have two, but I think you're right. There is one in the witch's little hut.
There is. And then...
But I have two other ones.
Ooh.
Okay. Is it with those in the...
Okay. No. Eleanor's belt on her dress has a hidden Mickey in it.
Oh.
Also, in the title logo that you see with Brave with all the Gaelic or whatever, or Gaelic.
Gaelic.
In it.
With all the Stephen Lick.
Yes.
Okay. What the Brave logo, where when you see Brave written out, y'all can see it. Y'all don't live in a cave. If you do, listen to other shit.
Just Google it.
Because I don't deal with people who don't have contacts with shit.
Just use the Google.
Just Googs the shit.
Google it.
There are hidden Mickeys within that font.
That's cute.
Cool. Okay.
Because there's awesome. A lot going on in that font. There's a lot going on. I don't have a 10th question. Steven has a 10th question.
Okay. So what is the traditional Scottish language?
Well, obviously it's not Gaelic.
Hey, no, you totally ruined my question.
I know, I forgot.
I'll just give you the tidbit. So, the difference between Irish and Scottish, like, traditional speak, is Irish is Gaelic, and then Scottish is Gaelic. And so they're very similar.
Like Dalek?
Like Dalek? Yes. Or garlic, without the R. But Gaelic
garlic
is Irish.
Dalek.
But at the end credit scene, Emma Thompson sings an entire song in Gaelic.
Emma Thompson sings?
Yeah.
At the girl,
very end, she
sings. Was Mrs. Potts in the live action Beauty and the Beast. Yeah.
So in the end credits, she sings an entire song in Gaelic.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in the end credits. But by that time, most of us are like up and out of the theater.
Emma Thompson is pure perfection.
But
obviously. Am I surprised? Absolutely not.
Yeah. She's beautiful. It like gives...
She also managed to be married to Kenneth Branagh for longer than 5 minutes. Oh.
I don't understand. Because I can't even watch him on screen for 5 minutes or more.
I had a professor in college for a Shakespeare class who...
Elizabeth told me about this professor.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a doctor... what's his freaking last name? Starts with an R. Rasmussen. Who was, like, seriously up in the Shakespeare world. He's, like, a renowned Shakespeare expert.
Oh.
And so he would say things in class like, Patrick Stewart and I are not speaking.
But, yeah.
Like, yeah, me either. Yeah. But, like, he doesn't know that. And he'd just be like, yeah, because, you know, we were talking about this collaboration for Hamlet and da 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 da. So he talks about working with Kenneth Branagh and how, like, terrible it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the joke that they would all tell about Kenneth Branagh to Kenneth Branagh you would get to, like, the pearly gates of heaven, and then, you know, you turn around and there's this huge, awful limo, and it says, like, Branagh on the license plate. And then the person turns around and is like, oh my gosh, like, is that Kenneth Branagh? And then the pearly white guard is like, no, that's just God. He just thinks he's Kenneth Branagh.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
Sounds right.
Snaps for dad
Sounds
jokes.
Right. Yeah.
I know.
But I have, wait, that was your question.
That was my question.
That was it. Gaelic. Yeah.
But you ruined it, so I just gave you the facts.
No, I love it. I forgot.
You know who taught me that? The actress they keep mentioning who was not in this movie, Karen Gillan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast, and she explained that Gaelic and Gaelic are
two different. So many Scottish actors, you guys.
I know.
Seriously.
But not in this movie.
No.
Not in this movie, ironically.
This is a Disney princess movie.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So I have a few specific questions about Disney princess movies that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
We are lubed and prepped. Let's go.
Here we go.
Is that a gay reference?
Actually, yes. We're lubed and prepped. Let's go.
This is a dumb question because there's only two of them, but what's everyone's favorite outfit that Merida wears?
Oh.
The blue one.
The gown. Or
no, my favorite is the gown
casual.
When she rips it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
Oh, and she's trying to pull the arrow, and she's like,
Yeah. She just rips the shit.
Yeah.
That's
my favorite.
I'm a sucker for a redhead in a green dress. What can I say?
I love her her dark turquoise, like, casual that she wears to, like, when she goes out, and she's, which is what I think you said, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That dress. I love that dress. It's very regal as at the same time being casual, which makes complete sense to me for a Scottish princess, especially one who is physical. She's a very physical person. The gown that she wears, do you like it when it's not ripped or when it only is ripped?
Only when it's ripped.
Yeah. Fair. I don't like it because she's uncomfortable in it.
And she looks uncomfortable.
And she looks uncomfortable. And you can see, like, the bulge in the top of her head of her hair
makes
me so uncomfortable. Like,
I feel like for any person who has had to wear or like felt like they had to wear a corseted anything, like that is the most uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. It pinches. It pulls. When you take it off, it hurts. Like it indents into your skin.
Right. And like hot. She and the whole like the hood that comes over with the little like thing that goes around her head.
The Bonnie bonnet.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a very regal look, but it's almost as if her hair is the personification of her.
It is.
Where you can see it. It looks weird. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good when she has it on. Because her hair is literally like, get me the fuck out of here. And that's her. That's the personification of her.
So as a very Aryan, straight-haired girl.
Me?
Yes, you. You probably won't. But me? Ashley and I, like, if our, like, I don't know about you, but like, hats.
Oh, no.
Can't do them.
No.
Well, can't do them. My hair gets up into it, and it makes my head feel like 10 times bigger of a circumference. I can't get into them. And then my hair is constantly, like, and you don't want, like, you don't want to wear one, because then our hair, like, holds molds. So, like, it's gonna, we're gonna have instant hat hair.
Right.
That is true.
To be fair, my head is too big for hats. So.
That is not fair.
So unfair.
Okay, look.
So unfair.
I'm sorry that my hair is flat as fuck. But I can't wear hats because my head is big as fuck. How do we think Merida would act at a modern party?
She would be that loud, boisterous friend who, like, not the one who does it for the attention, but everyone's drawn to her because she's like, yeah, I can take shots. Let's take shots. You want to take shots? Oh, you want to be a shot? Like, he would be me, or he would be. She would be, like, the... like the forefront of like femininity in me, but then like also the strong-willed woman. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Like, she could drink any guy under the table. She will dance on top of that table.
I think she would be like a country girl.
Yeah.
Like a lot of country girls are girls who like haven't had to like keep quiet or anything. Like, well, and also it depends on the party. So I'm assuming like we're talking about like a
house party.
Like a house party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that she would have a lot of fun. You know who really popped into my head actually was Noelle.
Yeah.
Oh, I
just like that.
Yeah. That
Merida would be exactly as loud as she is, but not like for the purpose of being like noticed.
Yes.
But that's just like who she is, and I think she would be really fun. And I also don't think she would be obnoxious.
Yeah.
And I don't think she would be, I think she would, like, value other people at the party and kind of, like, let everyone be. Because, you know, sometimes that loud person's like, come on, like, get loud, get pumped, let's dance. And they, like, force people into a way. And I don't think Merida would be like that.
Yes.
Totally.
True.
I love it. I have a few questions that don't apply to her because there is no male hero. So, any different choices you would make if you were in her shoes? Which is hard to say because it's all really about her and her mother's relationship, and her mother's relationship is obviously intrinsically different than the relationship we have with our mothers.
Well... that is not true.
Okay. Here we go.
I have a really... I think it was really hard for me. It's always been hard for me to watch this movie. Kate and I talked about this because I have a really similar relationship with my mom. Because we... for those who don't know, my mom is Ecuadorian, so that's in South America. And I was raised in a mixed-cultured household, so I had a white dad... have a white dad and then a Latin, a Latina for a mom. And so I could really kind of relate to... like, my mom is very traditional and is very cultured all the time. And so, for her, like, passing on those traditions is because, like, it's the... what really resonates for me is her mom's fear Like, almost everything her mom is teaching is fear-based. Mm-hmm. Is fear True. Of what will happen True. If those traditions are not upheld. Not fear, but not a fear of, like, needing to control because she doesn't want the traditions lost. But it's clear that the way that tradition was taught to her is that this is how it has to be or else. Like, for Right. the protection of your daughter, for the protection of the women, and for the protection of the family, like, this has to be this way. Mm-hmm. And so that fear is very much how my mom relates to, like, the way that a woman should behave. And so we've had a lot of issues in high school. And this came out after high school when I was in college. And so, like, it was mainly, and how my dad is relative is because my mom was very, like, trying to have, preserve the, like, Latin culture and the Latina way of being, which if you're Latina or you know a Latina, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then my dad, being white, was always very like, I don't get why you can't just let her. Yeah. Kind of like similar to what we saw in Crazy Rich Asians. I really resonated when the mom was like, oh, how very American.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, my passion and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Like that, it's not that my mom didn't want me to be passionate. It's that my mom, like, we come from a culture that is family first all the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, sacrifices for children and for family are noble and to be expected and to be revered and is not a form of being, like, submissive. So when it – I feel like it hurts sometimes to see – when Merida, that moment when her mom is clearly sick and Merida is like, well, yeah, but like, have you changed your mind yet? Mm-hmm. And I hate seeing it because I had a really similar experience with my mom when I was that age. Like she was very sick and she wanted me to help take care of her. And I was angry with her and I left her and was like, no, I'm not taking care of you because you have upset me or you have tried to make me be a certain way for so long. So it pains me to say that I relate to every move that she makes.
Okay. Should I ever do anything?
I have nothing for this question because background. I have one biological sister, and then I have six stepbrothers and sisters. You will often hear me refer to them as just brothers or sisters. My parents had no idea what to do with me. I am the tall, artistic, white, gay child, whereas my siblings are, like, the Latino, very conservative, very just do what you do kind of family. And so they had no idea what to do with me. I think my mom just got more frustrated because she didn't know what to do with me, so she tried to put a cap on it. So, like, in my household, it was more often, like, you're the child, I'm the parent, you have no rights, you have to listen to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no, actually, I'm a very strong-willed young man. Young lady who is going to tell you what I think. So,
independent woman who don't need no mama.
Which is sad because, like, my mom, all she ever did was love me, but I was like, no, I need conflict because you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, this aspect of the movie, I don't get the feels, but it does always make me laugh because it's such, like, Merida's going to be queen. Mm-hmm. Merida's, these boys who are shooting for a hand, they're not going to be king because they're going to be king. She's going to be queen. So listen to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't, like, because the scenario is Eleanor wasn't, like, she wasn't the lineage that made him king. Mm-hmm. She was made queen because she married him.
She's the queen
it's
mother.
It's completely opposite.
Yeah, she's so,
like,
queen mother.
Even what she knows as tradition for a woman to do, she, like, is the expectation that these guys are going to be the king and Merida's just going to be the subservient wife like Eleanor? No. She's going to be queen.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you bring that up because it's really clear that Eleanor does run the show.
She does. Yeah, Eleanor runs this kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, because I do, I mean, I don't know if this is what they intended, but what I saw in that, because I do relate to that so much, is my mom and I are two very powerful women, and we're powerful in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And so my mom is, was, well, and really who she was raised by, my abuelita, my mom Josefina, who Isabel is named for, Isabel Josefina. And mommy Josefina was a very gentle, compassionate woman, and she was not, like, loud. And so I think it's kind of like what I really liked is... is that they're two very powerful forces, but Merida is fire and her mom is water.
Yeah. And so her
mom is kind of this patient, wavering force that will break through the rock.
Yeah.
But it will not create this huge devastation around it the way that Merida does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that because that's kind of how my mom and I were, where my mom was always water and I was always fire.
I didn't mean to wake you up. I'm sorry.
But then also in having a daughter, now the one thing that I battle all the time is not having expectations for Isabel. Because even though, like, my whole world right now is her, and we are, she's part of my body, right? So there's this ownership where, like, I'm responsible for her. But ultimately, like, my expectations on her they're not hers. Like, she didn't agree to any of it, you know? And so I think that's kind of the thing as well, is that her mom wants her to be powerful. I don't think she wants her to be submissive. I think she wants her to, she's afraid of how much devastation she can cause.
Yeah.
Because she is going to be queen. And I think her mom knows that and is like, because you're a woman, you don't get to be so loud and imposing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like she recognized that Merida didn't take her power very seriously and didn't recognize, like, how impactful she could really be. And I think that was kind of her mom's fear, is, like, if I don't rein this in, she's going to make a decision that could ruin the pact.
Sure.
Because they don't talk on it very much, but, like, the pact that was made between the clans happened in war.
Yeah.
And she's like, you could easily destroy what we have created because you are hot-headed.
Right.
And you are selfish. And she is. Like, Merida is not a very... I think where she's brave is that she was brave enough to be humble and compassionate, which is something that most people aren't. But, yeah, that's where I think, it gets so much deeper than just her mom wanting her to be quiet.
Yeah.
Well, it's frustrating, and you can see it from Eleanor's perspective how frustrated she is, because she wants Merida to be everything that she is.
Mm-hmm.
She loves Merida for the way that she is,
mm-hmm.
but she... is worried that, you know, it's a specific thing that she thinks will work to keep everything okay.
Yeah.
And Merida is the antithesis of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she loves that Merida is like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it is Eleanor, like, the internal conflict of Eleanor that we don't, like, you have to, like, kind of, like, read between the lines and see. And those moments, and there's a few of them in the movie where Eleanor goes to really have an authentic moment with her daughter, and she pulls back.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, you're like, yes, say it. Uh-huh. And then she's like, you know, please behave.
Yeah.
And it's so rough to watch.
It is.
Yeah, it's really scary. But you also, like, kind of, you get it. Like, this is it's a hairy situation.
Because she turns into a bear.
We want it to go well. We want everyone to be happy, and we want peace to reign. And Eleanor just has a...
like, she's not... she is afraid of being vulnerable.
Yes.
And that's really the thing that fixes them, is vulnerability. It's like, if you can fix what was broken, and you have to be vulnerable. And I thought that was really interesting, that what she had to do, and Disney and Pixar could have been very, I feel like they teetered a line, because the movie is about a loud, obnoxious girl. And it's not in a, like, cute, ironic way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, in your Hunger Games, you know, that genre of movie that came out where these girls were essentially just masculine male figures in, like, with but they were women. Mm-hmm. Not that type of femininity or yeah. feminist. But they really could have fucked up and had this really empowered, loud, mischievous, obnoxious girl. And really the kind of point is, like, what fixed this was to sew, to, like, use the domestic tools that her mother right. had given mm-hmm. her. And they could have made it very, like, see, this is why you should stick to your gender role. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. And I don't totally know how they did that.
I think that the whole, we have to sew this literal rip between us mm-hmm. is a MacGuffin. Mm-hmm. where it actually, we could have rewritten the movie mm-hmm. where it was literally Merida apologizing and them having a moment of understanding between each other, and that's what fixes everything.
Yeah.
Whereas, but the fact that they put it on a physical thing is, it's a movie trope.
Yeah.
But it helps us all understand it more. Mm-hmm. But also, we understand that we don't actually need the tapestry.
Yeah.
To fix this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The tapestry is actually not important. Yeah. It's a metaphor for what we need.
Yeah. You're right, because it doesn't actually fix it.
Yeah.
Because if you think of Frozen, like, love thaws. Uh-huh. And the things that they thought were tangible that would fix all of this, mm-hmm. like Kristoff kissing Anna, mm-hmm. they thought that would fix
yeah.
her. But it's really the love between two sisters that no one can touch.
Right. Yeah.
No one can really make it tangible.
Oh, you just mm-hmm. got me teary-eyed.
And that is what...
Well, I think in Frozen, because with the tapestry, like, it was a skill, it was something that her mom was trying to teach her that she would actively reject.
Yeah.
And I think that's... That it's
totally,
it's
yeah.
not a movie about a mother accepting her daughter, mm-hmm. which is what most movies are. It's about a daughter accepting her mm-hmm. mom. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that we're often taught as children.
True.
Like, we're not taught to see our parents as anything other than parents.
Yeah.
And so I thought that that was a really mature way for them to humanize our parents, kind of like mm-hmm. Moana, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really similar mm-hmm. Storyline, but it's about a daughter who's not being understood by her father, mm-hmm. and then she becomes her greatness, and then he understands her. But Brave is, like, the reverse.
And honestly, Disney has a track record of the father-child relationship.
Yeah.
It's more about the father. It's more about the patriarchy,
yeah.
which intrinsically has a higher power scale than mm-hmm. the maternity.
Yeah.
Which, can we talk about Fargus for a second? Because he's, like, the best dad.
Uh-huh. He's a great dad. But he also lets, you know.
I think he's a fun dad.
He's a fun dad.
He's a great dad.
Yeah. He's a fun dad.
His willingness to let her be who she is.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I think that's great, but he also undermines his wife consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has left,
but also lets her take over in the power positions,
mm-hmm.
but undermines her in child rearing.
Right.
Almost.
Which yeah. is, it's so interesting because she is going to be queen,
mm-hmm.
and she, if she were his son, he would have taught her, done every, like, every moment would have been about teaching her and preparing her for royalty.
Yeah.
But he didn't do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take her lineage, her royalty, really that seriously. Mm-hmm. So the mom was left to teach her how to be queen and how to be a wife and mm-hmm. how to, and knowing full well that she, like, her power, you know, like, it, I think that's kind of interesting, too. That the dad just like, oh, you're just my cool, fun daughter, and I can relate to you, and I can slip in and out and have fun, and my version of being a king is hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just, I think he's fine. Like, I think he's a fine father, but I also recognize, this is my job, right? I recognize mm-hmm. how much emotional labor the mom did entirely by herself.
True.
And he was not there for that.
With none of the gratitude.
None of it.
None
I mean,
it.
She turns into a bear. And, like, literally, she
which
is
Mama Bear.
Yeah.
Mama Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, like, Fargus is just, like, it's almost like because Merida has a vagina, he can't see that he can have the same relationship with her as he can have with the son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know why Merida is in line for king and not Hamish, Hubert, or Harris, right? they're triplets. They were literally all born at the same time. There is no eldest son.
Which is a parallel to the story that her mother tells her about the three boys. Mm-hmm. The three sons.
Yep.
I didn't notice that.
So the three sons, we have to break away from that, and we have a daughter who actually takes over the power.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because Muldoon takes the spell to defeat his brothers for power of the clans.
Exactly. And let's do. Yeah. I did not see that.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
I actually didn't see it until I just said it.
Which is funny because Meredith we would have that instead of
we'd have the same struggle if it was just the twins. If it was just the triplets. We'd have the same
struggle.
It's
the series of three, which is very Celtic and very like Scottish. Yes. You've got the three brothers. You have the three clans. You have, you know, all of these threes, which is the Triquetra, which is traditionally Celtic. I mean, in Christian, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But in like the old Gaelic religions, it's the mother, the maiden, the crone. Like, it's very cool. I love this stuff. It's all like, right on my alley.
Very
so the series of three and like the whole like paganistic like aspect of it too is like super cool.
And it's really sad that they did all of this and it went over everyone's head.
Oh yeah.
It just blew over
and
everybody.
Brenda Chapman, which was fired from from being director about halfway through production for creative differences. But the story is hers. She had young daughters and she wanted to tell the story and she felt like it was what she needed to say. She stuck to her guns and they let her go. But does she still share the Oscar that it won? Yes. She gets that credit.
Yeah.
And it validated her in every way possible because that was the darkest time of her life.
Well, and it's so interesting because I think the fear that I had talked about earlier that the mom has is this knowledge, and you with Brenda, it happened. Like, the world can be, for a lot of folks, like, women are definitely not, like, the most oppressed folks. Like, definitely, I think women of color are definitely highly oppressed, but the world is not kind to women, especially women of color, but the world is not kind to women who aren't who they're supposed to be.
Right.
And I think her, as not so much now, right now we're in a very different time, but I can imagine that like when my mom was raising me, I think my knowing how I was being, I'm an advocate now. That's truly like what I do is I use my voice and I talk about things and I stand up for things that, you know, in a Lifetime movie might look cute, but in reality, most people really hate. And so I think she knew that the world might not be kind to her daughter and she cared more about that. She feared for her and she was willing to, she kind of did, she had to teach her some form of survivorship. And yeah, I think that is intrinsically feminine. And if you were even like, especially to put that story where the Scottish people have been oppressed consistently. And again, if you were to even take this story like to the next level and have it be about a family of color, like that amplifies the message even more so. But just kind of this notion that like the world is not as a society or as a system is not kind to women like Merida. And a really good example is the director who's making a movie about how the world is not kind to women like that gets fired from being exactly the type of character that she was making a movie about.
Exactly.
I have a question for you too.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me interrupting the question. Out of the three suitors, who would you pick?
That was my mom. That's
one
of my
The one that I couldn't understand.
The one you couldn't understand? That makes sense. Yeah. Tell me your reasoning.
Oh, because every time he's speaking, his face looks really compassionate and genuine. Like, he looks like whatever it is that he's saying it, his, like, eyebrows are soft. And he's saying it, like, as a peace, in, like, a peaceful way. And I feel like they could probably figure out how to understand one another. But I'm bilingual, so, like, not understanding somebody or, like, a language difference doesn't scare me.
Right.
Because I know that it's really easy to learn language. So that is why I was, like, the only thing wrong with this person is that she can't understand it. And you could figure that out really easily.
True.
Learn a new language. People do it all the time. this past Thanksgiving, we had friends from Ecuador coming. Mm. So basically the whole meal was in Spanish.
Mm.
And James is white, and everyone he's ever known has been white. And the people he's had true conversations with have spoken English as a native language. But we've been together for 10 years.
Right.
So he's been to enough family functions to be in a room where people aren't speaking English, and he doesn't, like, doesn't challenge his identity anymore. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, who is all kinds of problematic, she's never been in a room with people who couldn't understand her. And that means a lot to her to be understood. Yeah. And she would start having conversations with people in English. And it seemed like she truly didn't care that they didn't speak English.
Mm.
And I've attended a lot of trainings where we talk about, like, how important bilingual access to resources is. And it's because our first language is the language of our hopes and our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And can you believe that in this country, our and white folks, and I'm half white, so me too, we have a history of forcing people to abandon the language, of their hopes and their dreams and of their past and of their future. And we've colonized that. I have been in spaces where people were because I worked in an immigration law office for so long, when people were unable to communicate and we had to find a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I had to be able to, if they had a dialect of Spanish that I couldn't speak, we had to find another way for them to get their story across.
Right.
And I learned a whole new way of communicating.
Yeah.
So then who would you have gone for?
Oh, the hot one.
The Braveheart one?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
MacGuffin, right? That's MacGuffin.
The one with the temper tantrums?
Yep.
The one where they have the Braveheart one. It's definitely the Braveheart
one.
Yeah,
the one with
the blue. That he threw a fit because he, like...
Yes.
The arrow, like...
I mean, he's a straight-up fuckboy, yeah. But have I fallen for it before? Yes.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
I do love the big, bulky one,
yeah.
Who is not a son. The one that you think is the son.
Right?
Yeah,
when he
like...
he steps to the side,
the
right?
fake-out?
Yeah.
He's hot.
The trick is look at their fathers. Because they are direct, like, reflections of the past and the future. Like, look at their fathers.
Totally.
Well, and now that I know that Owen is actually...
the one you can't understand.
Yeah, which makes it a little more, like, I like him so much
You really
more.
Don't need to understand when your privates are involved. Do you know what I mean?
Who about you, Shivers?
All three.
What?
Well, I mean...
Brave.
It's kilt. I'm very brave.
That's the name of the movie.
There are kilts involved, and we all know Scotsmen don't wear anything under their kilts.
Oh,
so.
My favorite is when, like, the short, fat one father, like, literally
lifts his
like,
kilt.
Look at this, and I was like, oh, wow, that was a really mature, because Rotoms are disgusting.
The short one with the crazy hair, I do have a partial fondness to him because I enjoy a simple boy.
Mm.
I do enjoy a simple boy.
He says something later. Doesn't he say something where it's, you're like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's almost
so at the end.
At the end?
When they're saying,
why shouldn't we be able... Because he's the one that you think should be in love with Merida, that he should be all over her because she's way out of his league.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, actually...
Well,
like,
he's also the one who, if she didn't step in and throw her own
accident,
arrow...
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he gets knocked and then his arrow goes straight into the middle.
He actually wins her hand.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah.
So... But thank God.
I better not be shooting for me on hand.
Yeah.
It's the best line of
the
whole movie.
The mom is like, you just created civil fucking war.
Yeah.
You dumb.
Because
child.
It's a kid movie. And
you
like,
literally just decimated our people.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And
the
dad's like, isn't this funny?
Yeah. My favorite, I mean, that scene where she does that is like. It's like feminist fodder. They're like, here you go. Like,
but I also like where I kind of reject it is that like,
yeah,
it is about to start World War III.
But it's almost like, and maybe we don't know this for sure, but it's almost like she doesn't realize, as in her parents didn't really explain to her,
right,
what it meant.
No, because and that is
which
very
is intrinsically flawed.
That
yeah,
is their fault.
Because if they had raised her. With this knowledge, she'd be down.
Yeah.
Because she'd be brainwashed into thinking, like, it's the right thing to do.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, it's kind of Fargus's.
Gonna...
Yeah, girl. Fargus's fault. Yeah, like,
I think so. I think he did not powerful, like, powerfully prepare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His child, I totally agree. For being, and it, he left all of that to the mom, which is, like, very typical of straight men to do.
And she can only teach her to be queen how she knows how to be queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all she can do.
She did the best she could with what she had, and she's trying hard not to squash her daughter's spirit and protect her from making some serious mistakes.
It's a rough gig. Uh-huh. It's a rough gig, and she's trying her hardest, and you can see it.
Well,
you
I
can
think see that's her what, trying. Like, we know as to how to communicate with, like, more vivacious. More vivacious.
Vavoom.
More like
a vavoom.
Strong-willed children and people. Like, you don't talk to children like they're children. You talk to them like they're people because they're people.
Right.
And, like, yes, obviously, at the parent's discretion, you're going to give them that information at the rate you want to give them to. Mm-hmm. But raising this girl to be queen, it's like, hey, this is the importance of this. I know you don't understand it now, but when we were children, there were three warring clans, and it was hell.
Yeah. Well, we have this, you know, and, I mean, it's the same thing with Crazy Rich Asians. Mm-hmm. Like, he was protecting her from this. He didn't tell her about his family because he was protecting her. And we can only assume that because there's not real reason why he fucking didn't tell her context of his life.
Right.
But, like, it's the same thing that we can only assume that Eleanor is protecting her from the darkness. But she is the light in the darkness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she didn't tell her.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, and, like, as strong-willed children, like, we were all strong-willed children, and I feel like we were all, there were times that our parents got it right, and there were times that our parents got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think I have always, my dad has always related to me as, like, I'm going to trust you with this information. And one of the things that he always did was, I'm going to trust you with this information, but I also want you to know that, like, you're not the only holder of this information, and you don't have to solve this problem. And that's something that you see a lot in movies, where children get too much information, and then they feel like they have to take it on themselves to, like, solve it.
Yeah.
And then that's where a lot of mistakes happen, or, like, a lot of these, like, journey movies happen, where the kids are like, we have to save the world. And I'm like, who are your parents that you don't think that you can tell them about this?
Yeah.
Who are your parents that you think you have to run away to another fucking dimension that you can't be like, Mom? And that's literally all I want in life, is for Isabel to feel so comfortable with me that when, like, some goddess, witch, deity shows up in the living room and is like, hey, Isabel, like, you're actually
bound to happen.
Yeah.
Bound to happen.
Like, there's a portal opening, we need you to close it, or we need you to open it, or, you know, magic's going to be lost, or whatever's going to happen. I want, and they're like, you have to come with us now to save the world or the universe. And she's like, I got to call my mom because I can trust her with this, and I actually rely on her.
Totally.
Like, bitch, I will jump in the TARDIS with you. Just let me know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and you're not Rose's mom. Can we just make that clear?
No, I'm not Rose's mom.
You are not
I'm
Jackie.
Amy
you're
Collins,
not Jackie.
And this is Riversong.
Right.
This is true.
Here's
it's
the thing.
More like that.
You are the doctor's mother-in-law.
Or I'm Riversong, and this is Amy.
Well, it's a problem with our culture, where we have pop culture that it permeates our consciousness that parents can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Parents just don't understand.
Yeah.
And there's got to be, I think, as the millennial generation having babies, I think that can be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the millennial generation, we were the kids who were told that the doctor would show up.
Yeah.
That Oprah would show up.
Yeah,
and that
the power,
like,
of will was enough.
Yeah. Of course we want to be on those adventures with our children.
But also to protect them. There's that over, like, that instinct to protect.
Right. Exactly.
Like, no child should have to, like, journey to a witch to change her fate. Like, feels like she's so unheard in her own household that she has to go find a magical witch to solve all of her problems or make this wish or turn her mother into a bear.
She has to do some,
like,
risky fucking
shit
and invite some weird shit into her home.
Which,
I totally agree with you.
It's the same lesson she tried to teach to Muldoon, you know, hundreds of years ago, but Merida actually got it. Like, the witch isn't the bad guy in this scenario.
Mm-mm.
Hell, Muldoon's not even the bad guy in this scenario. The bad guy in this scenario is the lack of listening.
Yeah, the lack of communication.
The lack of communication.
Can we take a quick side note?
Mare's cleavage, choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I am Mare.
I'm pretty sure she's a nurse. Like, she's the wet nurse.
She's the wet nurse. The boys. That makes sense.
She probably nursed those boys.
She's also terrified of those boys.
Because she has three boobs.
For good reason.
Because she did have three boobs. She was the only one qualified in all the kingdom to do so.
When she walks in, and they, like, the first time we see her, I was like, holy fuck. Those boobs are my boobs.
Those are my boobs.
Those are my boobs.
You were actually an inspiration.
Yes. They saw a picture of me.
You were 23 at the time, so yes. It was legal.
The red hair gene was so strong in those children. The blonde, blue-eyed took over my family.
Yeah.
But in this family, in Merida's family, the red hair,
it will just, not like, be silenced.
No.
Fucking destroyed everything. Like, Eleanor doesn't exist. Like,
it's true. Well, and it's interesting because when the boys turn into bears, they don't turn into like red bears. They turn into black bears.
Just like their mama.
Their mom.
Yeah. Like their mom.
And they're honestly just exactly the same.
Yeah, nothing changed.
Yeah, they're the just same. Bears, and they didn't notice.
If we were real bear cubs, we would act the same way. Steven, I want you to do your Fargus as Merida impression.
Okay, so the only time Fargus is trying to be a good dad and husband is when he's explaining, like, okay, you're not getting along with her. Let's role play a little bit.
Oh, I love and that he just, scene.
So
and
good.
I won't be able to do it verbatim, but he goes, okay, you be you and I'll be Merida. Ooh, I'm Merida. I don't want to get married. I want to ride me or shoot me arrows through the forest. Let me long hair flow in the wind. And she's immediately like realizes he's not helping. Fargus. Like,
it is marriage.
Like, you're not helping. You tried to help and I love you for that, but you were not helping.
Yes, exactly.
It's so good.
Let me hair flow in the wind.
Like,
also, Angus, the horse, is at the same level as Philippe in Beauty and the Beast in A Good Boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good boy.
His good boy status is elevated.
Yeah, for sure.
He's
for
the
sure.
same as Philippe. Philippe, I still maintain, is the hero of Beauty and Beast and the Beast.
Horses are just big dogs.
They really are.
They're big spiritual dogs.
They are, yeah. Especially in the Disney movie.
Yeah.
I mean, any horse, because they're modes of transportation, and that's important for any character, any person, is to get around. So, we can't just, like, hop on our dog and head out. Skipping to the witch.
Oh, yes.
How the knives are sentient, almost. Do you remember when the knives
are... They're coming at Merida.
They're coming at Merida. And then Merida goes, I'll buy everything you have.
Yeah.
And then the knives turn on the witch. Like, don't fuck this up for us, bitch.
No, right? We may go live in a castle.
Don't fuck this up for us.
We're trying to cash out.
Yeah.
So you guys know, since we got onto the witch.
Yeah.
And you said you'd read it before.
Yeah, something about Boo.
So, there is an ongoing theory. Right. That the witch is Boo.
Which
so
I totally accept.
Right? It could... So, we don't know what happens to Boo in the Monsters, Inc. universe. Like, the last thing we see is Sully opens the door. Opens the door and we hear, Kitty! Like, that's the last we see of her. So, you are a child. This is the most formative time of your life. And you have this grand experience. Like, A, people are going to think you're crazy. Like, you tell your parents or you're making it up. So she spends the rest of her life trying to get back to Mike Wazowski and Sully. Mm. So, obviously, like, how are you going to do that? This is Disney Universe. Magic.
Mm-hmm.
So her magic, which we see, is based in doors. Like, you open the door, it's empty. You open the door again, it's full of all of these things.
Whoa, yeah.
Okay. So doors are her magic. So she's constantly trying to create doors or do this to either go forward or back in time. Because you don't know. Because in the same, like, theory, Monsters, Inc. occurs millions of, or thousands of years in the future. And they are going back in time to, because they're running out of energy, to steal the screams or laughter of children. So they're actually creating doorways in time. So she doesn't know whether it's in the past or it's the future. Is it his past and her future or vice versa? So she's constantly trying to get back to him. But now she's an old woman and she is stuck here in, you know, 8th century Scotland, like, as the witch. But is she actually stuck, or is that just one of her ports in time? So the reason this is so supported is because, and I actually think I was wrong earlier when you said the hidden Mickeys, because it's a hidden, Sully. It's hidden Sully. She's burning.
Oh, yeah, she has a Sully.
Figurine of him in there.
Definitely. She also has a Pizza Planet truck.
Truck, yes, made of wood.
From Toy
Story. She, you know, obviously, like, it's just a really cool theory to think about, because, like, you were either called crazy your entire life for believing this to be true, but then that's a movie I want to see, just called Boo.
Maybe I saw, like, an extension or a sequel to that, that, like, the turtle that Moana rescues is...
It's Crush.
Crush.
Yeah. And they do that with the tree from A Bug's Life. You see it in different points in time in Pixar movies.
Oh, yeah, A Bug's Life.
There is an anime that Kyle and I are watching, and it's called... It's by this group of women who write anime... called, their group is called Clamp, and they've been writing since like the late 80s, early 90s, and they finally did two series that coincide next to each other, and they're called Tsubasa and Holic, and throughout Tsubasa, they're traveling to different universes where you actually see the characters from the previous Clamp novels, so they're constantly going through. I would love to see a movie called Boo, where it's her... like, throughout her life, trying to get back to Sully. But she's going through all the
Pixar used the portals to discover new worlds and create new worlds.
Yeah.
And that was, like, when she discovered. Yeah. So it could be not that she's trying to get back, because that's hella depressing. Or it could be that, like, she learned this magic and she learned all these new worlds.
Well,
she's like,
it's actually canon, but it's actually canon. That the toys at the end of Toy Story 3 are given to Boo as a younger, as an older girl.
Oh, yes.
Right.
But then didn't Pixar directly
Girl Daisy
debunk
is
that?
Boo.
Oh.
No, I think he confirmed it.
Oh. Well, and then, I thought he debunked
it. Here's the wonderful thing. Like, it makes her a Dr. S character. She's constantly going through and having these adventures and trying to get back to it. And she will get back to Sully. Like, that's not true. But to discover this, I think it'd be really cool if they wrapped it in. She, as a young girl, meets the witch from Brave, her older version self, and she sets her down that path.
Like,
she has these grand adventures.
Right, only not terrible.
I mean, we're pitching a movie to no one. You know what I mean? Like, we can just...
You don't know.
We don't.
You don't know who's listening.
It's all conjecture. So, it's all conjecture, for sure.
But yeah, no, it's cool to think about her as the witch and, like, older. And, like, maybe that is just one of her bases throughout where she exists. But she's the same witch who turned Muldoon into a bear.
True.
You know what I mean? So
which is
she's
canon.
Constantly existing. Because she isn't the bad guy in Brave. She isn't what she did to Muldoon. Like, she gave people what they asked for. She just expected them to step up.
She's not Ursula.
She's not Ursula.
When Meredith's mom becomes the bear, and she puts the tiara on. My aesthetic is Ferocious Beasts with tiaras or lipstick on.
I didn't think of that.
That's literally my aesthetic.
How did you feel? What was that like for you?
I get it. I get it. I love... That's, like, literally my favorite thing. Is Ferocious Beasts, something to be afraid of, putting on something delicate.
And being both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, I mean, that speaks volumes for whatever. But, like, that's how I feel about it. But how did you feel about it?
Not as strongly as you. And that's okay, because I love every time you remind me that that's your aesthetic. I'm like, I've never, ever had anyone else ever say that before. I think it's, like, the most unique thing that you all, not the most, you bring a lot of shit to the conversation, but that's one of my favorite things you bring to the conversation, is Ferocious Beasts having, like, feminine, traditionally feminine pieces.
Also, first Pixar movie to,
Wait, hold on, you didn't ask me how I felt about your aesthetic.
Oh, how'd you feel about the bear wearing
I'm still
Tiara?
Here.
We reduced you to childcare.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not upset about it.
I know you're not.
All I was going to say about your aesthetic was, if you ever are wondering, all y'all out there, what Steven looks like in drag, it's a giant grizzly bear. So, there you go.
Did I talk about how this was the first Pixar film with nudity?
No.
Oh, the boys' butts.
The butts.
The boys' butts.
We see full-on booty. We see little baby booties.
Yeah, we see baby booties.
That's right, because when they turn back, they're all running all over the place.
No, it's also the other clans. Because, and they had to use their pants.
Grown
to
adult
get down.
Male booties.
Yeah, we're talking about grown male booty. Diving into the cleave, Mahdi.
Yeah.
When the baby bears, they're like, she's like,
drops the key in her cleavage.
And then they're like,
and then she's running around like this.
I just don't relate to a lot of things. And just like the fact that of things falling into my cleavage or me hiding things in my cleavage is a big deal for me. So
representation matters.
Two additional software programs were used specifically for this film. One was specifically just for Merida's hair.
Wow.
Yeah. The rest was the rest of the movie. 1,500 strands of hair to move together with her movement was one computer system.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
That is wild.
Yeah. Also, the Scottish plaid look, right?
The kilt?
The kilt. So the family kilt color is like a blue and a maroon. And it's very, you're like, that's a normal look. But Disney registered it as an official Scottish family tartan. It's called a tartan.
Yeah.
That plaid specific to a family is called a tartan. Disney registered it as the official tartan for the family in Brave.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's extra.
Isn't that crazy? So, in the Scottish Book of Tartans, the Brave family, which is not a real family, has a specific
Disney is so
Disney
extra.
Plaid. Uh-huh. Is that crazy?
Oh,
jeez. Insanity.
I do have one thing to add.
Yes.
Do not follow Will of the Wisps. They do not grant your wish when you grab them. You know what they do? They lead you into the bog, and then you die and become one of them. They steal your soul from your body. Do not follow Will of the Wisps. They are trickster spirits. They will not grant your wish.
Also, I'm so glad you said that.
Because
just
you know
the other day.
You know these children.
I saw the Will of the Wisps, and I was like, I really need a faster way to get to work. They were like, follow me. Like, and I missed the exit.
Should any mystical thing actually be real, and your child is out like, I'm in the forest, I saw this on Brave, they're going, oh boy. No. Do not follow the Wisps. It will steal your soul. You will never be seen again.
We have a lot of these messages to share with Isabel. Don't follow them.
Don't
blink.
Them.
Don't breathe.
She will literally be able to quote this episode, I think. The Will of a Wisp reminds me of Sound of Music because Maria is a Will of a Wisp.
A Will of a Wisp. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's the first thing I thought
of.
A clown.
Bitch.
I'm telling you about the color scheme.
Okay.
Ocean blue for the North Sea. Deep scarlet for family's relevance in its own history, and the bloodshed during battles between the clans. Deep green for love of the Scottish Highlands. Navy blue, its clear central intersections for the forging of the clans within the Dunbrock, which is the family.
Dunbrock.
That's Merida's family. Dunbrock. Kingdom. Subtle gray for the inner soul of the Scots. Naturally. Let's do If You Could Change My Fate off, and then let's sing Wassail out.
Okay.
So, no, Shevers, go first.
Oh.
If You Could Change
Your
Fate.
Oh, I thought, Wassail.
Quick disclaimer. Me and my siblings used to sit around when we were bored and say, if you could change your fate, in the most ridiculous Scottish accent possible. And it gave us many hours of great entertainment. So
Mormons. This is what happens.
This is what Mormons do. So, Shevers.
If you could change your fate.
Okay, I'm getting up.
If you could change your fate, would you?
Okay, Ashley.
If you could change your fate, would you?
Okay, now now we're going to sing very beautifully Wassail.
Do we have all the parts minus the tenor?
We just don't have tenor. Okay. We just don't have tenor, yeah. So the only important parts. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Wassail all over the town. Our toast is white and our ale it is brown. Our bowl it is made of the white maple tree. With a wassailing bowl we'll sing to thee.
Pretty good.
That was good. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Quick disclaims. Drinks and Disney is not affiliated in any way with the Walt Disney Company. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Instagram at Drinks and Disney. Special thanks to Grace Sy for our music. Cheers, my Disney dears.